Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on how to receive God's best, and this is the end of my fourth week of teaching. I've got one more week of teaching on this. I've got this new series entitled, How to Receive God's Best. And I tell you, this is powerful. And there's five teachings in this. Today is the last day that we're going to offer the fourth teaching entitled, The Power of Words. And then next week we will conclude this teaching. So I encourage you to please get these materials. You know, this teaching is a little bit more detailed than some that I do, and it's really kind of dependent on some of the things that I've said prior to this. I'm teaching some things that this is not the way that most people believe. Our modern day society has lost the belief that words are powerful. And people just lie all of the time. They will say anything and everything. They'll promise you that they'll be at a place at a certain time. And that just means that that's kind of an indication of you'll arrive sometime around there. People don't keep their word, and it's become unimportant to us. And because of that, we don't really value the Word of God. And we don't understand this teaching that I've been giving about the blessing of God. The blessing of God is just the spoken favor of God. And once God speaks something out of His mouth, it's a contract. He never violates it. Hebrews 1:3 says that He upholds the entire universe by the power of His Word. And if He ever broke His Word, the universe would self-destruct. And so when God says something, it's non-negotiable. He will never violate it. It's always true. And again, because we live in a culture that doesn't place that kind of an importance on words, sometimes people don't understand that when God speaks something, it's that important. And so I've been using this to show that once God speaks something positive over a person, and it's recorded in the Word of God, that that is the blessing of God, and all you've got to do to receive it is start mixing it with faith. And I've used the last few days Balaam as an example. That Balaam was a man that believed in the power of the words, and whoever he blessed was blessed, and whoever he cursed was cursed. And Balak, the king of Moab, tried to get him to curse the Israelites. He had this experience where God opened up the mouth of his donkey and spoke to him. And most people think that that's where Balaam sinned, was right there when this donkey was speaking to him. Well, he certainly was wrong in that instance. But over here in Revelations chapter 2, it tells you what the sin of Balaam was. It says in verse 14, this is the Lord rebuking one of the pastors of the seven churches because he had allowed some things. And in verse 14, he says, but I have a few things against thee because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Now, this tells us what the sin of Balaam was. It was when he taught Balak to use the women of Moab to entice the Israelite men into having sexual relationships with them and to eat the sacrifices that were offered unto the god of Moab. And through this, what they did, they basically got out of faith in the blessing of God. They renounced their faith in the God of Israel, and they started putting faith in these pagan gods. And that's the only thing that stopped the blessing of God. The same thing was said over in Numbers chapter 31, verse 16, where Moses said, don't you remember that it was the women through the counsel of Balaam who drew all of the Israelite men into these sins and caused the wrath of God to come upon them? And so anyway, my point through all of this is that nothing can stop the blessing of God in your life except you. That is so powerful. And people just really don't understand this. And they look at these natural things that come against them and they think, well, I know God wants me to prosper, but we're in a recession. A recession can't stop the power of God. Well, I know that God wanted to bless me, but this person over here has said this about me, and this person is against me, and my boss doesn't like me. That can't stop the blessing of God. Nothing can stop the blessing of God. The biggest soothsayer of his day, Balaam, said, God hath commanded to bless, and I cannot reverse it. Nothing can stop you from receiving the blessing of God except your unbelief. And this is how Balaam actually got around it. He knew that he couldn't overcome the blessing, so he taught the people of Moab how to get the Israelites to renounce their faith in God. And the blessing of God, once it's spoken, nothing can stop it except you've got to have faith mixed with it. And brothers and sisters, this is why most of the people watching this program aren't walking in God's best. Not because God hasn't provided it, and not because God hasn't spoken it, but because we haven't believed it. We don't understand the power of our words, and we just aren't activating the blessing of God by our faith. And we allow the unbelief of other people to affect us, and we quit believing. You know, there was an instance where a guy who was a friend of mine, I actually went to a church here in the Colorado Springs area, and there was a guy who was a greeter. His name was Ralph, and he was in his 70s. He was kind of a small guy, but he was healthy, and he was always a really, really happy guy, and he was the head greeter. And every time a person came into the church, he would just greet these people and welcome them to the church. And anyway, one day we had some Hell's Angels come to the church. I mean, a whole group of motorcycle guys came in, and they were tough looking. And I mean, one of them was, I don't know, way over 6 foot, probably nearly a foot taller than Ralph, probably 300 and something pounds, wearing nothing but, you know, he had on his leathers, and he had on a leather jacket, but no shirt underneath it. And anyway, they came into church, and Ralph, I remember standing there and looking at him, and he looked up at this big old guy, and he says, well, everybody's got to go sometime. And he just reached up and gave him a big old hug and welcomed him to the church. And it turned out in that service that this guy came down front, got born again, and then told the church that he was a Hell's Angels guy, and he was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. Ralph nearly passed out when he realized he had hugged a guy like that. But anyway, this guy Ralph, he was a friend of mine, and he was missing one Sunday. And I asked what had happened, and they said, oh, he is sick. Well, the next Sunday he was missing. He wound up missing 3 church services. I asked about him, found out that he had been in the hospital with pneumonia, that they had released him, and he was home, but he was still struggling. And I just felt led to go over and to minister to Ralph. So I went over to see him. He was telling me about how bad it was, and he had this congestion in his lungs. He had all of this phlegm that was in his lungs, and he was really struggling. And the guy was just disappointed because he knew that God wanted him well, and he had tried to believe, and yet he wasn't getting well. It was 3 weeks, and he still had pneumonia. And he was just really discouraged. He was actually crying when I was talking to him. And this is right at the time that the Lord had shown me the power of a blessing and how that we can bless other people. That a blessing is God's divine favor. And when we receive it, like He's told us, you lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. He told us in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, in other words, you take your authority and you speak to your problem. And one of the blessings of God is that what you believe and what you say will come to pass. God had just been showing me these things. And so here was Ralph in this situation for 3 weeks. He'd been dealing with pneumonia and he was discouraged and despondent over it. And I just said, Ralph, I'm going to bless you. I believe in the power of the blessing. And I literally cupped my hands like this, and I put my hands up against his chest, and I spoke to his lungs, and I said, lungs, you are blessed in the name of Jesus. Whatever I bless is blessed. Whatever I curse is cursed. And I cursed the pneumonia. And I command that pneumonia to die and get out of his body. And then I blessed his body. And I said, you are blessed and not cursed. From this moment on, you recover. And I commanded all of that phlegm to come out of his lungs. And I was just speaking the blessing of God over him and cursing that sickness that was trying to affect him. And while I was praying for him, He had to push me out of the way because he started coughing. And he went and got a towel. And I mean, in the next 5 or 10 minutes, he coughed up all of this junk that was in his lungs. And in 10 minutes' time, he was totally normal. God totally set him free. And you know what? There's people watching this program that think, well, that's coincidence that it just happened right then. It must have been the medication they'd been giving him or what. He had had this for 3 weeks, and it was getting worse instead of better. And the moment I started blessing him and speaking blessing over him and cursing the sickness, the whole situation turned around. And some people would just write that up to chance or circumstance, and you just don't believe in the power of words. And that's the reason it's not working for you. But I'm telling you, this is the power of words. You don't have the power just to say whatever you want to say, but when you take what God has already blessed and you take His blessing and you start operating in agreement with it and start speaking the blessing of God, I tell you, your entire life would turn around. You know, there's an instance in the New Testament, Mark chapter 6, it's also recorded in other Gospels, but where Jesus took the little boy's lunch, the 5 loaves, and the 2 fish, and He blessed it. Let me just turn over here and read some of this to you. Mark chapter 6. Sometimes people don't really pay attention and get the full benefit of what the Scripture is saying. But let me just point out a couple of things. They had this need where there was a multitude of people. Jesus told all of the men to sit down, and they sat down in groups. And anyway, there was 5,000 men, not including all the women and children. We know that there were children there because a little boy is the one that gave his lunch to Jesus. And so we don't know how many people, but there was a minimum, I would say, of 10,000, maybe 15,000 people. And Jesus took this food, and it says in Mark chapter 6 and in verse 41, when He had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided He among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Boy, this is awesome. But you know, when He took the food, He blessed it. Now, many of us think about, well, this just means He prayed over it, you know, like we say a blessing over our food. Again, some things have become religious habits and we don't recognize the real power. But when it says that He blessed this food, it isn't just saying that He said something like, some recited prayer, some ritual or some formal thing that He went through. He took something that was just really small. I mean, 5 little loaves of bread, 2 fish, and He, instead of cursing it, He blessed it. Instead of saying, oh, this is never enough. This can't meet the need. Nobody's going to be able to eat. Not everybody's going to be fed. This won't work. See, those are all curses. Some people think, well, that's just stating the facts. Sometimes stating the facts can be cursing. You know what? A doctor can tell you, you're going to die in 2 weeks. And maybe that's the physical facts, but that's a curse that's spoken over you. You need to get rid of that. You need to recognize the power of words. But instead of saying this isn't enough, instead of saying, well, we'll see how far this will go or whatever, Jesus took that little bit of food and He blessed it. Again, this wasn't a ritual. It doesn't tell us exactly what He said, but Jesus began to speak that you are sufficient for this need. This little bit of food, you are enough to feed 10 or 15,000 people with more food left over than what we started with. He began to speak to that food. And I know some people think this is weird, but I'm reading to you. This is what it says. He took the food and blessed it. He spoke positive things over that food. Many of us, you're looking at your resources, at your bank account, at your talents, at your abilities, and then you look at what God has called you to do, and instead of blessing it, you're cursing it. You're saying, I can't do it. I can't do what God called me to do. You need to get rid of that. You need to start blessing yourself, blessing your abilities, and saying, I will do it. You know, we got a lot of new people that are watching our program. I mean, hundreds of thousands of new people in just the last few months. And some of you may not know, but our ministry is growing at such a rate that we can't accommodate everything here. I'm having to go and use the church next door to accommodate the people in our Bible college. And even at that, we're outgrowing it. And so the Lord, we were praying and God gave us a beautiful piece of property in Woodland Park. It's 157 acres. We got the whole 157 acres for $4 million, and it has a $3 million lodge on it. I mean, it is just a godsend. We would have had to have paid anywhere from 5 to 10 times as much money for less than this piece of property. It was God that put us there. But now that we've got it, we don't just want the 157 acres. We want to build a place for our Bible school. And I've got drawings of it. We've shown a virtual tour of the place here on our television program. We are in the process of developing it, and we're still trying to get some of the permits and do some things. But I mean, it's going to be a $30 million project. And we've just increased our expenses by adding television. We added another $300,000 or $400,000 worth of television program expense in just the last few months. And so, it would take a miracle. It would be really awesome just to be able to meet our television and radio expense and to pay all of our things and to take this huge step of faith where we basically tripled the number of people that are watching the program. That in itself would be a great accomplishment. But at the same time that's happening, I'm beginning this project to build at least a $30 million facility to accommodate our ministry in Bible college. And you know what? In the natural, what I have isn't sufficient to do all of this stuff. But it's the exact same principle I'm talking about. Jesus had something, this little bit of food that in the natural is not enough to accomplish what the goal was. But instead of cursing it and saying, well, it's not enough, I don't have enough, I can't do it, He blessed it. And He spoke positive things over it. He took His divine favor and released it with His words. And you know what? To the best of my ability, this is what I'm doing. I could sit here and talk about what I don't have. I could obsess over what I don't have and all of these things. But you know what? I'm telling everybody that it's a piece of cake, that it's no problem, that we will see all of this come to pass, that we're going to get it done. I'm believing for it to get done debt-free without me having to go into debt. And you know, in the natural, this is just, it can't happen. There is no precedent for this in my life and in my ministry. But I am not speaking forth my fears and doubts. I'm speaking forth my faith. I'm blessing this situation. I have to drive by that property every day when I come into the office. And there has not been a single time in the last 18 months since we've bought that property that I've driven by there that I haven't blessed that piece of property. Said, thank you, Jesus, for the sanctuary. Thank you that we have all of the finances. Thank you that I have favor with God and with men, that I'll be able to get all of these permits, that everything is working. Thank you that you are speaking to people and that my need is met and that we are getting this done. And I bless that property. I've driven by it hundreds and hundreds of times, and I bless it coming in. I bless it when I go home. I'm blessing it all of the time. And you know what my point is? You hide and watch. Some of you don't believe what I'm saying because you don't believe in the power of words. You are more influenced by our modern society than you are by the Word. And so you don't believe this and you think it's foolish what I'm doing. I'm just telling you, hide and watch. Those of you that don't believe, you just watch. And I don't know the exact timing on it. I mean, if we started construction today, it'd be at least 2 years before it was complete. So it's going to take a period of time. But you just hide and watch. We will get that done. It will come to pass. Because you know what? I've learned the power of a blessing. And God has spoken a blessing over me that whatever I set my hand unto is blessed. He said that. And the only thing that can stop it, is my unbelief. And I'm not in unbelief. I'm in faith and I'm speaking it, and you just hide and watch. It will come to pass. And when it comes to pass and when it's already done, I pray that you'll have enough honesty and integrity to admit, well, I wasn't sure, but I've seen it come to pass, and maybe you will change your impression, and you will come over to my side, to the Word side, where you start believing in the power of a blessing. And it's really this simple. It's that simple, but it's not easy. The hardest thing you will ever do is get to where you go by something that you can't see, an intangible, the favor of God that's been spoken. We have it written down here in the Word, but there isn't any tangible proof. You know, if I wanted to go get a loan for all of this, which I don't, but if I was to go to a bank and start telling them, and they said, all right, so what collateral, what guarantee do you have that you could pay off this $30 million loan? You know what? I can't prove that to anybody. There isn't a tangible physical asset. I can't make this happen. But I have more faith in the Word of God and in the power of this blessing than I do in any of the physical systems that we operate in today. And I'm just telling you that I have blessed this thing. I am blessed, and I believe it. And I'm speaking the blessing of God. And God is raising up people, even right now, to help me to get this accomplished. It is going to come to pass. And you just give me a few years, and you will see a first-class facility for a Bible college with dorms and all of these things where we can accommodate thousands of people, and we are going to send people around the world, and we are going to change the body of Christ and the way that they view God. We're taking this nearly too good to be true news, and we're instilling it in people, and it's going to change the body of Christ. I believe if the Lord was to tarry 100 years from now, people will look back, and I believe that Charis Bible College and the people raised up, it made a noticeable difference in the body of Christ and therefore in the world. In case you hadn't noticed, our society is going the wrong direction, and there's got to be some major changes. And I don't believe I'm the only person that God's using. I don't think that I've got a corner on God, but I believe that we are an important part of what God is doing. And if the Lord tarries, people are going to look back. And I believe that this Bible college and the people that we're raising up and starting in the School of Business Administration and these things, they could go in and they could change corporations. They could go into politics. This could literally change the course of this nation. And you know what? It's impossible in the natural, and yet it's coming to pass because I understand the power of words, the power of the blessing of God. And I'm speaking it, and you just hide and watch. It's going to come to pass. Amen? So anyway, I'm living this right now. This is a part of my life, and it's really, really powerful. I've got more to share. I'll continue this next week. I encourage you to listen in as we go into the last teaching in this 5-part set. Today will be our last day to offer you the 4th teaching in the 5-part set entitled The Power of Words. So listen to our announcer as he gives you more information, and be sure to call or write and get this material. And we not only have the CDs, but we have the DVDs available. You could actually get these television programs that you've been watching edited and put into a DVD, and it would be a blessing to you. I tell you, this is something that you need. Every one of you need to understand these truths I'm talking about, and this would be a blessing to you. So please call or write today. Listen to our announcer as he gives you this information, and then join me again next week as we conclude this series on how to receive God's best.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The 4th audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this 4th CD titled The Power of Words, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
Next thing I know, I'm down in emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set everything free.
Check out his story today. Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Alan and Debbie Moore. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th, and in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
That was easy.
Thought about taking your parents to Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs? It's easier than you think. Log on to www.awmi.net for more details.
It is not enough for you to have need. Need doesn't motivate God. God is motivated by His own love to meet our needs, and His power is available. But the thing that will release or appropriate this power of God is faith.